Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each week, we explore different aspects of the world of music, including concert reviews, this week in music history, and, of course, what we are bringing you today, an album review. Along with me is, of course, my co-host, Jacob Crum.
The Barracuda Bomber.
The Barracuda Bomber, Jacob Crum. We have gotten together on one of the days that we don't normally get together because we were like, hey, let's get together and do this album review because we were both in town at the same time. And it was like, yes, let's do it. So here we are up in the studio once again, bringing you what I think is actually one of the best classic rock albums of all time. But before we get to that, if you like this podcast, please help us out by going to our website at followthesoundpodcast.com and clicking on the Amazon banner whenever you want to actually do some shopping on Amazon, because it'll take you to Amazon and you can do all your normal shopping. It won't cost you anything extra, but we get a little bit of money back just for you going through our website. So go through the website and click on the banner, or just go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. Also want to thank lineupmedia.fm. We are currently in the Lineup Media studios, which is always a fantastic place to be. And if you want to check out all of the other great programming that they have on Lineup Media, and just go to lineupmedia.fm and click on any of the podcasts that are up there. They're all unique and special and entertaining in their own way. Just find a topic that appeals to you, and I'm sure you will enjoy it. Also, find us on Facebook at the Follow the Sound group. We are always looking to interact with people and have great conversations. We post videos and share links and stuff on there all the time. Also, you can find us on Twitter at iFollowTheSound. So, Jake, are you ready to reveal to these good people who are listening the album choice that we have picked today?
I'm ready to hear you reveal it.
Yes. So today we are doing an album by a band that everyone should know. And if you don't know, shame on you. You don't know classic rock. We are doing Dreamboat Annie by Heart.
Da-da-da.
Yeah. So Heart is just one of these great, great bands that has been around since, what, I'd say the 70s, right? Since 73, I think, is when they actually like kicked it off. Originally from Seattle, Washington, but they actually got quite a bit of success in Canada before like really kind of making it big in the U.S., which is why Dreamboat Annie was actually recorded in Canada, in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Where everything that is, I don't know, Vancouver's, it's that place where things come from.
Yes.
It's like the other place where things come from.
The other place.
You know what I'm saying?
they started together and kind of did their thing, but the real, like, you know, I guess heart of the band Heart is Anne and Nancy Wilson, of course, respectively guitar player and singer. They are still out there rocking today, and I'm not just saying like they're out there rocking, I mean like they are out there like just kicking it hard. And it's amazing. Heart, actually, they put on one of the best shows I think I saw last year. I don't remember who they were playing with, but man, they just came out there and just tore it up. I mean, and I even remember back before then, Heart playing at Fair St. Louis. And if for any of those outside the St. Louis area, Fair St. Louis is the 4th of July weekend, and they have like massive concert, like multiple artists and stuff like that, that come out. And one of the years they had Heart, and she, like, it was so cool to actually, I didn't see it, but I could hear it, and it sounded so good. But then I got to see them in concert last year, and I was super, super excited to do that. It was good, good stuff.
So, I think she's like the only person from that era that still hits all the notes the same.
Yeah.
Like they don't change the key of the song.
Yep.
or anything.
Yeah, and it's like effortless for Anne. She's got an amazing vocal range. And I love listening to anything done by Heart, because yeah, I know that vocally it's going to be just this awesome performance. And then at the same time, I mean, Anne Wilson, like, she ain't no slouch on a guitar. Like, she can wail. And it was super cool to watch her too. I know I get kind of hung up on the vocalist because I myself am a singer and I'm a drummer and a singer. And so like the guitar player is kind of like, I don't really know what to say about them necessarily, but, I appreciate Nancy's playing cause she is super frickin' talented. But, how about it, Jake? You want to get into this album?
Let's do it.
Let's kick it off. So of course, Dreamboat Annie, it was released in, 1975 in Canada and then in 1976 in the US, let's see. It was released in August of 75 in Canada and February 14th, 1976 in the U.S. It was recorded in Vancouver, British Columbia, and got, like, you know, built up a following and stuff in Canada. And then a bunch of their songs also became big hits in the U.S. And, I mean, there's no other better way to start this off than with this classic heart song that they still do to this day. The first one on the album is Magic Man. Cannot go wrong with that song. I love that song so much. Just like the way she like goes is like on this nice little, you know, mellow sort of sound in the beginning, but that good hard kicking guitar part, and like the little things that go on in the background, like that acoustic guitar that kicks in like right in the chorus, but it's not playing the entire time. It's only hitting like on certain accents. And the fact that like the bass is basically just mimicking what the drummer is doing on the bass drum. And so it's like, it's kind of hidden there, but it adds more punch to the drums. That's just good stuff. That is good quality songwriting right there.
Song wouldn't be shit without the wind chimes. Just saying.
I mean, Magic Man is a classic heart song, and it's still, you will hear it on the radio to this day. I love it. Anything else to add, Jake?
No, I love the message of the song.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, please enlighten us then.
Please enlighten us.
Yeah.
I mean,
just go for it.
Well, obviously, this woman is running around with a man that her friends and family hate.
Yes.
And she's defensive about it, saying, look, he just gives me good dicking. Like, don't hate. Just let me I'm just going to have a good time. Have a good time.
All right. So, next one we got on the list here is Dreamboat Annie, or also known as Fantasy Child. It is a short track, and so we'll just play a bit of it. But, yeah, let's get to it. That's the entire song. So let's just go ahead and move on right to the next one, which is, of course, Crazy on You. go. That's Crazy on You, which is, of course, an absolute classic song as well. And probably my favorite, actually, off of this album. Just because she does that, you know, that great run when she's doing the chorus for Crazy on You. And just, I don't know, she hits these really, really great notes and just sort of rocks it out. And not to mention, I mean, you cannot go wrong with that guitar intro on acoustic. And, like, seriously, like, just the Wilson sisters tearing it up, just doing a fan-freaking-tastic job on the songwriting aspects of this album. Jake, do you have anything to add? You're sitting kind of quiet over there.
I am sitting slightly quiet. I'm also having trouble with my voice, if you hadn't noticed.
Yes. Sorry.
That's all right. No. Yeah, it's a good song. My only beef is that when it's played on the radio, a lot of times the intro's cut out.
Yeah, I've noticed they do like a shorter version of it,
yeah.
I think, sometimes. But when they do it live, they obviously do the full intro, which is mm-hmm. super nice.
Which, again, I think intros are overrated, because have you ever gone back and just tried to watch music videos?
When they've got a weird intro?
Oh, my God, dude. Like, Lionel Richie's You has, like, a three-minute intro where he's, like, walking through a mall and making eyes at some...
Yeah, I know it's like, well, we're kind of veering off here, but whenever there's a music video and there's, like, a minute and a half, like, plus of nothing, no music or anything beforehand, I automatically, like, just skip. Like, I can't stand that. I understand that. But musically speaking, like, if there is something happening on the song, I'm cool with that. You know, I don't care about a musical intro unless it's just sometimes a musical intro goes on too long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just way too long anyway, and it
or
just
has
needs
nothing
to, be scaled
to do
back.
With the rest of the song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Roundabout.
Yeah.
Like, the intro to Roundabout is ridiculous.
So I understand that, like, for Crazy on You, though, it's kind of a continuation of Dreamboat Annie,
mm-hmm.
the intro is, at least, and it's like a build-up to this super hard song that they do. But let's go ahead and move on to the next song, which is Soul of the Sea. And actually, I've never heard this one before, so here we go.
Thank you.
That is a very mellow song. I dig it, though. That was nice. I kind of wanted to listen to the rest of that. But, of course, we can't really do that because we would owe lots of money beyond the fair use rules. But, no, I liked that one a lot, actually. That was really cool. Jake, what was the effect that was on the bass there? I couldn't quite place it because it sounded like a phaser, but not quite. Were you paying attention at all to that one?
Yes. Yes, I was. And I don't know.
This is why we need a guitar player.
Stop. Well, I'm trying to give me the year the album was put out.
This would have been recorded in 75.
75. Okay. Okay. We'll call it a phaser for sure. If you gave me an hour of pulling up video and trying to see what they do with it live. Or maybe looking for an article, I could probably find you the piece of equipment.
Nice. Yeah, I was. Well, that's what I was listening to because I was like, man, that's really cool with the way that it sounds in the background and all that. But that was a super mellow song. I kind of was expecting it with the song title. It was also a very long song. It's 6.5 minutes long for the album.
I'm gonna suspect right now. Now
that
I'm
the longest song on the album.
It might be a delay reverb that was made by Maleko.
Well, there you go.
It might be. I'm not sure.
I would also like to point out that the next song is also called Dreamboat Annie, and it shows up. Technically, there are three things titled Dreamboat Annie. It's just the first one, which is called Fantasy Child. The second one is called Dreamboat Annie. And the final one is, of course, a reprise. But let's go ahead and get on with Dreamboat Annie. And this is... for those of you who have the vinyl, this is the last song on side A, and it goes a little something like this. Gotta like that banjo in the background. That's the banjo going on.
Little did you know that's actually a 12-string guitar with a banjo pedal.
Oh man, no. Well, that's another one of those nice, pleasant songs to listen to. It's it is quintessentially a 70s track. Mm-hmm. You know, of just hey, it's nice, it's pleasant, it's mellow. It kind of reminds me of something musically the Muppets had, because, you know, they always had the banjo going on in their songs. But no, I like that. That was a nice song. Obviously, it's not my favorite because I like the hard hitting stuff that they do. But that was a quality track. I'm really going to have to go back and listen to this album completely a couple of times just to sort of take it all in. I know right now I'm kind of just reacting to it because I really only know the hits. Or stuff that I've heard, you know, randomly. But this is my first time actually going through the album just as is, which is actually really nice. It's pleasantly pleasant. I guess it is a pleasant thing to do, and I like that. Let's go ahead and get on up to track number 6 now, which is White Lightning and Wine, and it goes something like this.
Night.
If there is anybody out there who does not like Anne's voice, I don't want to meet those people. That right there. Like, I know, everybody knows, you know, Crazy on You and Magic Man and like all that kind of stuff. But did you listen to her voice there? It was so like emotive. Like you could feel like the storytelling just in her voice. That's quality work right there. Okay. That is some fantastic songwriting and singing. Okay. If there is anybody out there that doesn't like this, then you are a bad human being. It's just that simple. Jake, do you agree?
I do. However, I'm somewhat more impressed by the cameo of Sun Records' very own cowbell player.
Yeah, it's got that great cowbell, just ever-present. Right there up front in the mix. Yeah, that's great.
Joe beat Stompin' Sanders. I don't know.
That's a good song, too. Good old cowbell up there. But, I mean, that's just a top-notch song.
The cowbell is, like, so prevalent in 70s rock.
Yes, it is.
I really want someone to do a deep dive on when it started and who thought it was a great idea.
This sounds like an episode literally of Following the Sound.
I know,
the
right?
One sound. Just follow the history of the cowbell episode featuring Jacob Crumb.
I mean, on cowbell. Like, there's some 40s country where you hear cowbell, but then it disappears for 30 years and then just shows up in a Blue Oyster Cult song.
You know, you got to know there's like some dude out there who's like totally a record historian, mm-hmm. who like actually knows the legit history of cowbell usage in
music. And he's also kind of an ass. He's like, it did disappear, went down to Latin America for 30 years, then came back. You know.
So, weirdly enough, side note, so there's one song that U2 does, and it's got that Bo Diddley, you know, like sound to it. Mm-hmm. And Bono like referenced that at the show this last week, and about how, you know, it was a sound that Bo Diddley created. And I was like, actually, all he did was take a Latin beat and throw it on guitar. I was like, they'd been doing that beat for a long time. Like, but okay, we'll credit it to Bo Diddley just because he played it on guitar. That's fine. I got no problem with that. But back to Heart. Sorry, we sidetracked into U2 a little bit there. I wouldn't mind doing a U2 album review, but we're gonna stick to obviously Heart for for this album review. So, Jake, do you know what the next song is?
I do not.
It's a song called Love Me Like Music, I'll Be Your Song, and it goes like this.
These have been quiet days. When was the last time I wanted to sing? Last few dying days hanging on, what will they bring? Even you and me, coming apart, and it's wrong, wrong thing. We gotta look right at each other and say, turn on the radio and play and fall in love again. Can you feel the light shine? You know this song's yours, mine. Ain't it good to know you got a place to go where the melody's fine? Sometimes I'm not so strong, and even now I could be wrong. But if you love
Yeah, another mellow song, but it's good. It's actually got a bit of a southern kind of flair to it, you know? You know what I'm talking about, Jake?
Yeah, it's got a little western twang.
Yeah, yeah. I was not actually expecting that one. But, you know how them Canadian recorded albums are. You know my love of the band, which are basically a bunch of Canadians and one Southerner. They were good at that stuff. Jake is just staring at me now like I'm a crazy person.
I am. I don't know. I was trying to think of a good, like, shrimp gumbo joke. It just didn't. It never came.
It never came. Man. So we are kind of flying through this album, actually. I mean, because obviously we can't play everything, so that's, you know, we're limited. But a lot of these songs are actually kind of short anyway. You know, that last one was only 3 minutes and 20 seconds. And, you know, play a minute and a half or so of a song. It's like, yeah, just you kind of fly through it. But this is one of those albums, though, that really just stands on its own. Like, everybody knows about Heart. Everybody knows, you know, the hits and stuff. It's like, so really, we're just showcasing it anyway. You know, we're just saying, hey, we actually really like this album, or we really like this band. Here, let's listen to some of their music and kind of analyze it a bit. But, you know, that's what we do here on Follow the Sound. We kind of just listen to the things that we like. We listen to the stuff that we think other people like, and maybe, you know, they like some stuff, but we're going to show them other stuff too. We have a grand old time either way. But let's get on to the next song, which is called Sing Child, and it sounds like this. Wouldn't want to cut out in the middle of a flute solo, but if you didn't know, that is Ann Wilson playing the flute.
I did not know that.
Yeah, she's awesome. I was just looking at her bio, actually, and apparently she plays flute, guitar, and bass guitar. While, you know, of course, Nancy is pretty much just singing and playing guitar, but she was a really good guitar player. But yeah, and that was Ann playing the flute, so obviously they had to throw that in. A little bit of Jethro Tull type jamming out there. A little bit. A little tiny bit. I thought it was funny because while I was reading this, it was also talking about how she is considered one of the top heavy metal vocalists of all time. And I was like, really? I was like, I guess because this was like the first album, and so it wasn't really heavy metal necessarily. But at the same time, I mean, I could see how it could be included in that genre, especially with some of the other stuff that they did later on. But, yeah, because to me, this doesn't sound like heavy metal, obviously.
I mean, unless you're the Grammys awarding their first
heavy metal album to Jethro Tull's Aqualung.
Yeah. Then you're like, oh, yeah, flute solos, exactly.
Yep, that's what I think of when I think of heavy metal, really heavy metal flutes. Now, that should be a thing. If that's not a thing, it should be. A heavy metal flute, like heavy distortion.
Oh, I was thinking of like a contrabass flute. Like just a literal heavy. Okay.
Just it's like a giant.
Yeah,
flute.
It's just a big contrabass flute. Yeah.
I'm going to have to call up the other Brian Croc and ask him about, like, what's the largest woodwind instrument you can find?
Woodwind. Ooh, good question.
Well, because technically the flute counts as a...
It does.
Even though it's made of metal.
Right. I'm trying to think now. I mean, maybe like a contrabass oboe. I mean, what do you mean by big? Do you mean like the deepest range or heft?
The sheer largest that we can find.
Dude, some of those big contrabass things, they're like, yeah, you know, this company over here in Philadelphia made this in 1915. They were trying to showcase their new brazing techniques, and they made, there's four of these in the world. There's four.
Nice.
It's like, can you count that as an instrument if there's only four of them?
All right, so we only got a few more songs left on this album. Two, in fact. So this next one is track number 9, and it's called How Deep It Goes.
In the quiet afternoon, you left the
nice, slow, and, you know, mellow song. I think that was good. I like that. Once again, it's not my favorite, but I liked that song. That was really good. Some of the runs that she does there, like, nobody does those kind of runs anymore. You know, it's like nobody just like sort of trails off going down the scale, like at the end there. It's always like, how fast can I go, or what kind of, you know, everybody's doing like these sort of jazz and like hip-hoppy, or not hip-hop, but like R&B like style singing, you like even in pop songs and stuff. It's like nobody sings like Ann Wilson anymore.
That's true. I mean,
at least not that I found.
Pretty much everyone tries to sound like Mariah Carey these days.
Yeah, or Whitney, or you know, some of those. And then they've got like the what they call the indie girl voice, which is, you know, the it's kind of hard to explain, but trust me, you've heard it before. It's just this style that some people sing in that's kind of unique. But it's nobody sings like this anymore. Well, I can't name okay. One current artist that sings like her.
I've got one person.
Current?
Yes. What's her name from Paramore?
Oh. Yeah. I mean she's definitely got a she's more of a grungier style.
She can sing anything. I don't know if you've heard her do cover stuff.
I've heard
live.
Her do covers.
She can literally sing anything.
Yeah. No. And I've seen the band perform a few times now, and yeah, I'd say that she's definitely in that vein. Yeah, that's probably the closest approximation that I can find right now, as far as like current singers who may sound even remotely like Ann Wilson, but. I love the harmonies and stuff that they throw into some of their songs because they use it sparingly, mm-hmm. which is super cool. It's like all of a sudden, you know, she's singing along, she's doing her solo thing, and then it's like just out of nowhere, this other like harmony shows up underneath it. And it's just so nice. It's so cool to listen to. And it shows that the producer like really knew what they were doing as far as getting a more unique sound out of them. You know, it's like, let Anne do her thing, but at the same time, we're going to enhance her just a little bit by throwing in harmonies and stuff in the background. That's nice. I dig it. So Jake, final song. And it's called Dreamboat Annie, just like two other tracks on the album. This is the longest Dreamboat Annie at 3 minutes and 50 seconds, and it is a reprise. And so it goes like this.
Heading out this morning into the sun, riding on the diamond waves, little darling one. Warm wind caress her, her lover it seems. Oh, Annie, Dreamboat Annie, little ship of dreams.
Some more of that nice flute in the background. Yeah. So that is Dreamboat Annie from the album Dreamboat Annie by the band Heart. And man, I dig that. It is such a nice album. Like, it is well put together. It is well thought out. And the songs kind of coherently flow together. You know, maybe not thematically, but stylistically, they flow together very nicely. That's just an all-around well, like, thought-out thing. I was looking into more of the history of the album, and it was, you know, originally released in Canada by a label known as Mushroom in 1975. First song was actually How Deep It Goes, and then the second single was Magic Man, and that got some play on different radio stations and stuff, and it earned them a spot opening for Rod Stewart, which is, you know, pretty cool in and of itself. And so then after that, it got played on more radio stations, and it sold a very impressive number in Canada. It sold 30,000 copies, which is actually pretty cool. Then they opened up a U.S. division. Mushroom opened up a U.S. division in Seattle, which is where, you know, the members had originally come from before moving to Canada. And they got a couple of radio stations there to play the album, to which then it sold locally in the Seattle area 25,000 copies. It sold 30,000 in the entire country of Canada, and it sold 25,000 in Seattle alone. So this prompted them to start going out and go city to city and kind of like do promotions with different radio stations and stuff like that. Here's something funny, though. It actually qualified for the Canadian content broadcast requirement.
Yeah.
Which means that it was played on Canadian radio more than other songs, because in Canada, there's a requirement that if you're playing like music, it has to be at least like a third Canadian content or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a third. I don't think it's a half because that just sounds excessive. But yeah, it's something where, you know, you have to play more Canadian content than you know what you would normally play.
Sometimes that's a good thing.
Yeah, sometimes it's a good
thing. Sometimes you get a gem out of that.
Yes.
You know? Like Trailer Park Boys would have never been made if there wasn't a need for Canadian content.
That is true. That is very true. So some stuff happened, though, with Heart and their label, a bunch of just weird little bad things that happened. And they eventually separated with them, got into some legal issues and all that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, Mushroom Records CEO died and the label went bankrupt. And that was that. After that, though, the Heart had to... They had to give a second album, and so they recorded the next album, which was Magazine, released that, sold a million copies, like, in the first month, which is awesome. And but here, Jake, here's one of the cool things, and it's out there on the internet for anybody to check up on and verify. But they did a like an interview, on the radio, and like they done this weird ad where basically the label was implying that Anne and Nancy were a lesbian couple as opposed to sisters, because they thought that might sell better. So yeah, so somebody a radio promoter asked Anne about, you know, about her lover, i.e. Nancy, her sister, made her very furious, storms out, all that jazz. And then the encounter, like, made her so angry that she actually went back to her hotel room and wrote another song. That song is, of course, Barracuda. Which just is, I love that kind of stuff. I love that weird little tidbit of, like, the label basically tried to do this thing, caused this other thing, caused this radio promoter to do something which pissed her off, and then made her write Barracuda, which is like one of the greatest female rock songs of all time. Yeah. That's cool. I am in stunned shock too, Jake. I can't say anything. I have no words.
I don't understand the metaphors of the song Barracuda.
That's fine.
And
I
never have. I don't think I ever will.
So let's see. I'm looking at here and they got, let's see, the album made it to a peak position of number 7 on the Billboard 200 charts. Let's see. Made it number 9 on the Australian charts. Made it to, weirdly enough, only 20 on the Canadian charts. And it made it to number 36 on the UK albums charts. The singles didn't really do that much better. So they kind of just, you know, hovered around in those areas too. But the album is, of course, certified platinum now. With more than a million copies sold. And then in the Canada, it is actually 2 times platinum with 200,000 copies sold. So, yeah.
All right.
Straightforward. It was an album that, like, actually one of the record guys had basically said that Heart was a one-hit wonder. They were never going to be anything huge. And here they are today, still rocking out, still doing stuff, and still making music. So there you go.
What arena did they play last time they came to town?
Oh, they played at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
Okay.
Out there, as most of the people in St. Louis will call it Riverport. But since I know the people who own and operate that place, I will call it by its proper name, at least for now, until they sell the naming rights to someone else. But yeah, no, it's out at the amphitheater, and that's where most of the great shows roll through in the St. Louis area. Of course, like I said before, U2 came through and they played at the Scott Trade Center. So there, you know, we've got a bunch of different venues at which people can play, you know, some good sized venues. But I actually really enjoy the amphitheater, especially when it's a nice sort of breezy night and it's not stupid hot. But I always like the outdoor venues. They're nice.
You know what? Even when it is stupid hot, whenever they have a festival that rolls through town and there's three or four stages going,
yeah,
it's always worth going there. That's really what I like about the venue is how much they can pack in on the side stages.
Yeah,
and you don't have to walk, like, it's not a 5 mile hike to get to a side stage. Side stage.
Yep. Yeah. Got it.
Okay.
All right. So that was Dreamboat Annie by Heart. I really hope that you enjoyed it. I enjoyed going through it as well. It is a fantastic album, and I suggest you pick it up. Add it to your collection if you don't already have it. I actually have this one. I have this one in my record collection, so I'm quite happy about that. The problem is I currently don't have a record player to play it on because mine broke down, and I haven't picked up another one since. But I'm working on it. I'm trying to get another decent one. Because now I've actually got a good stereo that I can play stuff on. So I've been meaning to get another one. But yes, I do like this album. I like this album a lot, actually. And if I'm going to rank it, like, I've got to give it at least a solid 8 for me on a 10 scale. Because it's not... I don't think it's perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a perfect album. It's definitely listenable. I will re-listen to it. And it's got like two of their classic songs on there. And then the other stuff on there is just good music in any way. And so, yeah, solid 8. There isn't a bad song on it.
I enjoyed this. I have only heard 2 of those title tracks before.
All right.
All right. The last one I had never heard. I mean, I guess I'll give it. I'll go with you. I'll mirror you. I'll go with an 8.
All right.
It's a good album.
So there we go. We gave this one an 8 out of 10. This is a great classic rock album that I had no idea came technically from Canada, because I always knew them as an American band, but I didn't know that they had like gone to Canada to record it, or that they made their fame in Canada actually. But I'm quite happy with this one. So yes, go out, get it now. If you're going to purchase it on Amazon, though, please go through our website to followthesoundpodcast.com and click on the Amazon banner, or just go through followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. Once again, find us on social media sites at Follow the Sound on Facebook, the group, and I Follow the Sound on Twitter. Once again, thank lineupmedia.fm for allowing us to do the show. Check them out. Once again, at lineupmedia.fm, you can find tons of great podcasts out there. And we're only getting bigger and better as we go along. But once again, I have been your host, Brian Kroc. Along with me has been Jacob Grum.
Thank you for having me.
And remember, folks, if you hear it, follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.